Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye.
Sarah McLachlan has taken her new album, Shine On tour in the U.S. and Canada this summer. It was released last May. The four-year gestation period for the album found a lot going on in Sarah's life. Her father died. She and her husband broke up. Her new album is on a new record label after 20 years on her first. She has new management. Well, there's good news. There's definitely good news. She has fallen in love. Change on all fronts. Welcome, Sarah McLachlan, back to the World Cafe.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
I guess one gets used to all that change, or does one?
It kind of all came at once. And for me, it's like when things start to shift and change, I'm sort of the ilk of bringing on, okay, you know, what else is there? Let's just get it all out in the open and see what's going to happen.
Did you make a conscious decision that all those life changes were going to be the subject matter of the songs?
Not at all. I mean, for me, I do tend to write about what's going on in my life, mostly after the fact, not during the onslaught and the craziness, but usually with a little bit of objectivity on the flip side of things when I'm sort of trying to, you know, when you take a breath and go, oh my God. Holy crap, that was a lot. How do I process that? How do I move through it? And there were some, I felt, important stories to tell of you know, passages of things that happened to me.
Amen. Did you record it differently? Did you write it differently? I'm trying to think of all the different changes that went on here.
No, mostly they were just big life changes. You know, I sort of, all those big important male anchors dissipated right around the same time. And, you hit your 40s and you think, okay, I'm kind of halfway through my life. And because of all those massive changes and things falling apart, you're sort of, in a way, given a gift because it's this opportunity to reinvent yourself, to figure out who you are and where you want to go from there. And for me, it's like I didn't want to be complacent. I didn't want to think this is as good as it gets. I'm okay here. It's like I wanted to figure things out and get to a better place and not be complacent. And I think and I hope the songs are reflective of that. There's way more hope, for instance, and positivity in this record than the last one, for sure. But I mean, I was in the stinker on my last record. It was I was in a very different place emotionally.
Well, it's good to be looking forward to something, right? So that's mm-hmm. good. But the loss of your father, how long did it take after his death that you could actually even think about, you know, processing it and writing?
A couple of years. Yeah. And, you know, I think often it's such a cliche thing to say, but you don't really know what you have until it's gone. And with my dad, he was an ever-present force. He was always there, but he was quiet and calm. And it was just that unspoken anchor that I knew I had, that unconditional love that I had in my life that was then gone. Mm. And with my mom dead as well, it's like I found myself to, you know, all of a sudden I'm an orphan. I have no parents anymore. I'm the last generation. And now it's my job to be a parent to my kids and take over that role.
That is such a strong feeling because you've mm-hmm. become the person at those family gatherings that...
Yeah, I'm the matriarch.
Yeah.
I'm the last man, last woman standing.
Well, you wrote a couple songs about him that they're really powerful. I wanted to play a song for my father.
Oh, yeah.
I wish that I could tell you it's to you that I would run. You are the place that I could always rest my head when my world had come undone. 'Cause I've been wrestling with my demons, telling me I have no choice. How I wish that I could lean upon you now. It's the chaos and the noise. Your light buried the dark. A constant, unwavering heart. Mother well. Calm your waters feel.
Shine On, Sarah McLachlan's new album. That is a song from my father, and we're getting a chance to talk with her about writing this new album, making it, and she's having a lot of fun out on tour with it. You have a couple of daughters, and I can imagine that your dad's loss might have affected how you viewed yourself as a parent vis-a-vis how he was with you.
Absolutely. And I view it as a huge responsibility, but also the gift of what he gave me, that quiet, unconditional love. I knew he was there for me. It didn't matter what mistakes I made, how I screwed up, he would be there for me in a second if I needed him. And I recognize that now much more profoundly with parenting my kids and wanting to impart that same message to them, that you're going to mess up. There's going to be lots of mistakes. We're going to fight sometimes like cats and dogs, but I love you no matter what. And that is such an important value and message for kids to not only hear, but to know in their gut and their bones.
What did he do?
He was a marine biologist, a phycologist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you have a different kind of job.
I most definitely do.
And I'm wondering how it is to separate, you know, Sarah McLachlan, the artist, from Sarah McLachlan, the mother.
Well, just back to the crazy diversity of professions. I mean, when I was 19 years old, I went to my dad after I was living away and I was going to art college, and I hadn't spoken to my parents for a while. We sort of had to have the separation, mostly my mom, not so much my dad. And I went to visit him at his office and I said, I've just been offered a 5-record deal and I really want this. And all he said to me was, we better get you a lawyer and take a look at that. And
that
was his answer. That was so supportive. And he was just like, he knew that's what I wanted more than anything else. And he said, you know what, art college will be there if this doesn't work out, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, you got to do it.
Did he give you a straightforward reaction to your music?
Yeah, he was stupidly proud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, teary-eyed proud in the sweetest way. Whereas my mother, bless her, she just didn't get it. I mean, she said, "Well, I like it well enough," but she'd come to concerts and people would be screaming and saying, "Oh, I love you," and she'd just be baffled by it. She couldn't understand it. She was like, well, you're okay, you're good, but I just don't get this crazy manicness about it. But you know, she was a very stoic, reserved woman, so it was just so foreign to her.
Okay, well, let's flip that a generation. What do your kids, how do they react to it?
Music? Boredom for the most part. And then, really, do I have to listen to this again? I'm so sick of this. Can we please play Miley Cyrus or whatever top 40 song there is on the radio? They do like it. It's just I believe she thinks it's her job to keep me grounded and to level the playing field. Don't think you're anything too special, because I'll take you down a peg or six.
Clearly, she's doing that well. so what music do they gravitate to?
Like I said, top 40.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I hate it, and I lost the battle. I would always play Tom Waits and Joni Mitchell in the car driving to and from school for pickups, and they're like, Dad lets us listen to top 40 radio. Why don't you? You're so mean. I'm like, oh, crap. Okay. Then you start, it's one of those really annoying things when you're split up as parents. You're like, I never thought he'd do that, because we're of the same ilk in that regard. But he's like, no, girls, you want to listen to that? Sure, awesome. And I'm like, okay, great. So now I have to listen to top 40 to and from school. But that's the only time. And on long drives, I still put on Tom Waits.
We're talking with Sarah McLachlan about what her kids listen to and about her her new album, Shine On. And we have some wonderful live performances from this tour, which you're out with a 5-piece this time around?
Lean, mean 5-piece. First time in a very long time. I'm covering a lot of guitar parts, which I haven't done for years. And I wanted to challenge myself. And no backup singer, which, again, we haven't done for years and years and years. And just relying on the boys, the gang vocals.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's hear one. This is a song I think a lot of people have heard from this album, from Shine On, is In Your Shoes. And tell us the story of this song, because it's really powerful.
Well, it started off being, and I guess it, in a way it still is, about bullying. And I started trying to tell my story when I was a kid, and I couldn't finish it. I kept going different avenues and being very literal, and then trying to find parallel universes, and it wasn't going anywhere. And then the story of Malala Yousafzai came on the news, speaking out for girls' education, shot in the head. She survives, she endures, she becomes an international heroine, and just the perfect role model and the perfect heroine for the song. And it was really easy to finish it just being inspired by her story.
Think how badly the people who shot her lost their battle.
No kidding.
They wanted to stop education, and they've done
nothing.
Well,
yeah, they wanted to shut her down and everything she stood for, and instead they did the complete opposite.
Well, and here's a song that even once you know what it's about, it's an uplifting song. It's really
euphoric, yeah, because she survived.
This is In Your Shoes.
Thank you.
Recorded live on stage from Sarah McLachlan and her five-piece band, that version of In Your Shoes, here on the World Cafe today. And we're going to get a chance to talk with Sarah about the new album Shine On and other things. I want to talk a little bit about the emotion in your songs, because if it's one thing you do, it's you put it out there. And you put it out there lyrically, you put it out there in your performance, the whole thing. I can imagine that you hear from a lot of people about the effects of your music. And it's always interesting to me because the place you're most affected by recordings is, you know, sitting with your earbuds or sitting alone, and it's a, you know, a singular experience.
It's sort of and writing is very lonely and isolated. Yet what I'm talking about is really universal. And I mean, that's one of the beautiful gifts about music. And for me, the greatest validation as a musician, as a songwriter, to have people I don't even know come up to me and, you know, relate their own stories to my songs and say, this song has really, really helped me. I mean, I read a letter today that brought me to tears because it was a girl who endured horrible abuse throughout her childhood and adolescence. And she said, you know, when she was 17, she heard Fear and it gave her hope. And she started listening to all my music, and she said it pulled her through this horrific time. And now she's a mother, and she still bears these scars. But, you know, she wanted to tell me this story, and I was moved to tears because, like, I helped in some small way.
And then to get to go out and play the songs live, and you can kind of see the reaction, I would think, too.
Yeah, and it's the best thing. It's like the culmination of all the blood, sweat, and tears, and hard work, and loneliness, and isolation. It's the complete opposite. It's like going to church for me, because I get to be with a bunch of great musicians, with a bunch of great fans, and we're all doing this thing. We're all in this thing together, and it's really beautiful. It's an amazing feeling of emotional connection. And I think, you know, as a society, we don't have a lot of that anymore. There's not a lot of communal gatherings where we can all be together and be part of something bigger than ourselves.
Sarah McLachlan is our guest. We have some more live music, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about the song Monsters. I love this song because it's kind of such a push-pull with these monsters. You know, mm-hmm. They're kind of embraced in this song, but heck, they are monsters.
Yeah, well, you know, like everything, I'm of the ilk of trying to find the silver lining in every cloud. I try and look at everything that happens to me, good or bad, as a teaching moment, you know, a way of advancing. And what I've discovered as I move further into my life, how many people there are who I come across who, you know, have real moral and ethical limitations. and they try and entwine themselves in your life. And then you have to.
You're talking about the music business here.
I'm talking about the music business. I'm talking about everything. Right. It happens everywhere.
Right.
And especially with, you know, being a celebrity, being a famous person, I think it happens almost more. And I'm really open-minded, open-hearted. I kind of trust everybody, and I'm very friendly towards everybody. And I get myself in a pickle all the time because of it. Sort of having to, you know, disentangle after the fact. But, you know, rubbing up against those really hard situations, dealing with those people who are really obnoxious and are really tricky to get around, it kind of helps you define who you are and what you're willing to put up with too. And I guess that's for me, that's something I've just been discovering recently of how to see it for what it is right away and go, oh, okay, you know, that's great. I'm just going to, you know, it's not that I'm putting up walls. I'm just going to be a little more reticent to give everything away right away here. And then, but again, wouldn't life be boring if we were all the same?
Well, this is a song about those real and and metaphorical monsters.
Yeah.
Live on the World Cafe today in concert, Sarah McLachlan and her band. That is Monsters. And Sarah's got a wonderful new album called Shine On, produced once again working with Pierre Marchand, mm-hmm. who you've, boy, that goes way back.
25 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about your communication with him?
I feel like we're musical partners. We're musical soulmates. We connect on so many levels, and we have a lot of similar tastes. And he pushes me. He pushes me to different places than I would take myself. And I've never tired of that. I've sought different energies elsewhere. I worked with Bob Rock a little bit on this record, which was, an effort to sort of push myself and challenge myself. And also try and take some of these songs, which I knew I wanted to be a little more aggressive and raw, to a place that, to a person that I knew could bring that out in them.
Okay. Who produced, there's a really... Folks, this is a sexy song called Flesh and Blood on here.
That was Bob.
That was Bob Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this kind of pushes you too.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's where I'm at. I'm, you know, 46 years old. I was single for a long time, and then I got into a new relationship, and it's like, oh, you know, you sort of think things are going to dry up, and sort of, it's just that certain thing is going to go away, and you don't have to, it kind of becomes a non-issue. And then you meet somebody and you get involved, and it kind of reignites everything, and it can be rather overwhelming, but it was a big part of my awakening, so thus I wanted to explore that. And it's fun. I mean, I love playing electric guitar like that. I haven't done that in years.
Yeah, this is kind of powerful. This is Flesh and Blood.
Careful calculations fall.
A powerful reawakening for Sarah McLachlan. That is Flesh and Blood, a song from Shine On, the new album. We're getting a chance to talk with her today. I wanted to talk a little bit about the legacy of Lilith Fair. It was so successful initially, but there were problems in 2010, and you retired the concept the year after that. And
for now.
What are your thoughts? I mean, was it a thing of its time initially, or what?
It had its own momentum. Yeah, it was one of those happenings that started small and just spread like wildfire because of the time. It was very organic and it happened naturally, and it was this huge phenomenon. I think we made a terrible mistake in 2010 to put it out again without doing really our due diligence on how the market had changed, how our fans had changed. All those young women in their early 20s were now in their 30s, either, you know, mid to late 30s, with jobs and children, and it just wasn't quite as easy to spend that money and come out and spend all day at a venue watching music. And we are also in a horrible recession at that time too. And there were a lot of things that played against us, and the need wasn't there either. Part of why it was so successful is there was a need for it. And the need wasn't the same.
Meaning that there are a lot more successful women artists
absolutely.
When they're on their own tours.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And just, yeah, so many things have changed.
Yeah. Sarah, I got one more question. This is sort of because I admire you and all the things you do, and you do so much. Just raising two kids is a lot. What are your days like? Are you the kind of person that is really scheduled and regimented, or do you like
to... I'm an Aquarian. Are you kidding me? No, I fight against that every step of the way. I mean, I kind of have to be with two kids, but when we're in school, it's getting the kids up, getting their lunches ready. We make breakfast. I send them off to school. I go do yoga or I work out. Then I get in the office at 10:30 or 11 and I answer 150 emails. And then I try and get to some music at some point in the afternoon for a couple hours. And then the kids come home at 3:30 and then it's being parenting again till 8 o'clock at night. I go to bed at 9.
Wow.
That's sort of my day during the week. 7 a.m. on Saturday, the girls wake up and they go, "What are we doing today?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Let's just see what happens."
What about, do you take them on tour?
I actually just sent them home. They were out for 12 days with me and managed to get them to the MoMA in New York on our day off before I sent them on the plane. And they absolutely love it. My eldest packed a month before school was out. She was so excited about it. And they love it. They're really nomadic and they love the adventure and the different cities every day. And you know, it's great because I don't start work till 4. So I go out with them. We find museums in every city, whether it's children's museums or a museum of natural history, or just go to the park or go swimming. It's fun. Exhausting.
Yeah, I would say.
Because, you know, I do the show and I'm off at 5 to 11 and over, you know, on the East Coast, they're still awake. So they're like, "Okay, Mom, we're waiting up for you so you can read us stories." I'm like, "Awesome." I just want to go to bed. But anyway, they're the great levelers for sure. It doesn't matter that I was out in front of 3,000 screaming people 5 minutes before. They're like, "Come on, Mom, get in your jammies so you can read us stories."
That's a wonderful image. There's the pre-show party. I mean, there's the post-show party.
Exactly.
Hey, thank you so much for taking some time to talk.
My pleasure.
And providing these great performances. Sarah McLachlan, our guest here on The World Cafe.
I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN is produced at WXBN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.